So it wasn't too long ago, 2003 in fact, that a huge underground bunker was put up for sale just outside Charlotte. The bunker was built in the Cold War, but since emptied and covered up with weeds and rust, it got a good bit of press coverage at the time, but then, as it always happens, the reporters moved on and people began to forget. That is, everyone but one of our listeners. It's FAQ City, the podcast from WFAE where we take a new question every episode.
So many questions. So many questions.
And explain it here. I'm Nick Delacanal. Let's begin. So today's question comes to us from our listener, Kalen Snyker. Here he is.
I asked, what was underground in Charlotte?
Right. And if I remember correctly, you had mentioned a specific place that you had heard about in some of our follow-up emails.
Yes, I remembered some news story a while ago. I heard about some underground communications bunker that was from the Cold War.
Well, it took a little searching, but I eventually found what I think was the news story Kalen saw. It was from an old series called Carolina Traveler on WCNC. And the video's kind of corny. They play this song in the background. It was filmed around the time that the bunker was up for sale, and the reporter gets a few people to give him a tour.
Underground, it's absolutely massive. 60,000 square feet, 2,100 tons of steel, 10,000 cubic yards of concrete.
Yeah, so it's a little over the top, but so is this bunker. It's off Love Hill Road, about 30 miles east of Charlotte, in the small town of Stanfield. On the surface, there's just two small buildings and a communications tower. Beneath the ground, it's massive. There's two floors with 16-foot ceilings, which at one end are divided into four floors, so it's four stories deep. It has a kitchen, bathrooms, showers, a 12,000-gallon water tank, central air conditioning. It was built to sustain 90 people for 90 days in the event of a nuclear attack. Intriguingly, it was built by AT&T, the phone company. And if you wanted to find out why, there's only a select few people can still remember. To start off, can you tell me your name?
Yeah, my name's Dexter McIntyre.
And how long did you work inside the Stanfield bunker?
Well, I hired on in 1967 when the place was built and it was first turning up service.
May I introduce Dexter McIntyre? I met him on his sprawling property just a few miles away from the actual site. He says he did a lot of mechanical work inside the bunker and worked on its air-ground radio system. How'd you get roped in to working at the bunker?
Well, I wasn't roped in. I wanted to work there. It was just lucky. I grew up just a few miles from where it's built. And as I was in high school at the time when construction started, and me and a friend of mine that was always into some sort of mischief, nothing serious, we would go down and get over the fence to see the construction and, of course, get run off. So I thought, wow, this is really neat, whatever it is. At the time, we didn't know what it was.
The year would have been 1965, and the residents of Stanfield really had no idea what was getting built in that big hole off Love Hill Road. There were all sorts of small-town rumors going around, stuff about aliens and the government.
The most outlandish idea is the fact that the underground was a submarine base, and there was a tunnel all the way from Charleston to Stanfield, and the submarines would come in there to be serviced. Somebody probably had a lot of laughs coming up with that rumor, but you know, a lot of people were gullible and they really believed it.
When construction did end in 1967, the Stanfield News and Record broke the story. The AT&T phone company was behind the project, and it was part of a series of underground bunkers that stretched all the way from Florida to Massachusetts.
The United States and Canada decided to give this continent eyes, brains, and muscles that could react as swiftly as yours and mine and with even greater efficiency.
This is from a 1959 film made by the Department of Defense. And in it, the narrator describes a network of underground telephone cables that was under construction at the time.
If electric power to telephone buildings should be knocked out, batteries and generators are ready to take over. and more underground cables are being installed across the country, providing additional alternate circuits that can withstand damage from storms or falling bombs.
The bunkers were connected by these underground cables, so in the event of a nuclear bomb, the phone lines would stay intact and the bunkers would supply power to the nation's phone network. And if you're wondering why they would build a bunker in Stanfield, of all places,
the idea was that the major cities were the nuclear targets. If you lost the major cities, and say you lost Charlotte due to a nuclear blast, then you would have lost the whole north-south communications.
A lot of other cities like Atlanta, Washington, and Boston also have bunkers built on their outskirts. It's hard to know exactly how many bunkers there are because some were publicized and others kept secret. There's a guy in Kansas, Edward Payden. He runs a company that markets some of these now empty bunkers to potential buyers. People sometimes want them for data storage or ultra-secure homes. He says even he isn't sure exactly how many there might be out there.
I have a map of some of where these are. I count there were 28. I'm not sure that's the total and accurate number, but I count 28 that are listed on this map that I have.
Two bunkers that aren't on his map, the one in Stanfield, and another one out in Chatham County, North Carolina. Whatever the exact number, this network of bunkers was in full operation, keeping up civilian and military communications right up until the 1990s. What happened then is coming up.
Hey, FAQ City fans. You know, we answer a lot of questions on this show, and our friends at Charlotte Talks are doing the same with the help of Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyles. That's right. If you have a question for Charlotte's mayor, then submit it right now. Send an email to charlottetalks@wfae.org or tag the show on Twitter at Charlotte Talks. And you can listen to past episodes of Charlotte Talks with the mayor on NPR One. Okay, back to FAQ City.
Okay, the end is near. That is the end of the AT&T bunkers. By around 1991, the Soviet Union had dissolved, and with it the Cold War, and AT&T had gone through a tumultuous period where it had let go of its sprawling Bell system. All this to say, the underground AT&T network was coming apart. Dexter was there that day in 1991 when the Stanfield site closed its doors. He said it was really sad. Some of his best years were spent working in the bunker.
I remember pulling the plugs on, you know, some of the last equipment. It was obvious that at that time we kept thinking that maybe something else would be used there, something else would come about, but of course as time went by, nothing did happen.
The bunker grew cold and dark after that. A crew came in and tore out all the equipment. Since Dexter lived so close, his boss asked him to keep tabs on the place, which he did for 9 years. Until AT&T finally sold it in 2000 to another company called American Tower, which owns the property today. Dexter says it's been about 5 years now since he's been inside, and I asked him if he'd ever want to go back in. He said, maybe.
I hope the air has been kept on. I hope it's been kept dried out a little bit. It might be in a condition I wouldn't want to see it. I don't know.
Well, he still might have a chance. As I mentioned at the very beginning, the property was put up for sale back in 2003. I checked with the company, and they say no one's bought it, and they'll still take offers. The most recent asking price? $1.5 million. So, now back to Kalen.
Man, that's just cool to know.
You know anyone who might be in the market for a 60,000 square foot bunker?
No, I don't think so. I don't know if WFAE is looking for a new studio or something.
I guess that'd be up to our listeners. Next Fun Drive, right? Well, that's it for this week. Although, we actually have plans to go down into the bunker in the next couple of days. The American Tower Company has agreed to give us a tour, so stay tuned for that. We're going to try to have a video up soon, and I am psyched to see what it's like on the inside firsthand. In the meantime, we do have some great photos of what the bunker looked like back in its prime. That's thanks to Dexter. You can check those out at WFAE.org. And as always, we are looking for more awesome questions from you, our listeners, about the things you've always wondered about in the Charlotte area. Let us know at WFAE.org/FAQCity. Until next time, I'm Nick Delacanal.
next time on FAQ City.
It's the 287G program explained.